Good afternoon, brother. That was very good. Thank you for that special music. Did very relaxing and very pretty. My title, what kind of rulers will there be in the world tomorrow to the millennium and beyond? What kind of rulers will there be in the world tomorrow to the millennium and beyond? Well, and here we are on the seventh day of the feast. It's been a very pleasant, very spiritual, uplifting feast, I have to say. It's almost over. Well, actually, it is over, but we got one more day, brethren. The last great day to celebrate tomorrow, don't we? There has been approximately, I've counted them, I think, 14 to 16 speakers before me. And it's so wonderful to speak on the last day. So many things that have already been said, I will probably repeat and go to a lot of scriptures, which has already been. But that's all right, brother. Repeat is great. We got to get it. Even though it may feel strange meeting here on a Sunday, my neighbors were looking at me and thought I was crazy. But, brother, we're here to obey God and attend one of his feast days, aren't we? And while most of those people in this country go to church on this day, Sunday, almost every week, most of the people only attend church 20 times a year during that time. The weekly Sabbath is also losing its religious meaning in the eyes of many Americans. According to a survey on the Sabbath, a majority Americans still believe that taking a day of rest once a week benefits society and themselves. And only half of U.S. adults today, 50%, the Sabbath has spiritual meaning. That's down 74%, brethren, from 1978. That's a lot. 62% of people agree that it's important for society, they have one day a week set aside for spiritual rest. 11% disagreed with that statement. Totally disagreed with it. And according to a recent poll, only 20% of Americans now attend church on a regular basis. That's down 18% from last year, brethren. It's deteriorating constantly. That's awful sad when you think about it, especially as times get tougher, less people are attending church, and even less are reading or trying to understand what's in this fantastic book, the Bible. But we know that God has predicted this, brethren, and we can find that at Amos 8. Let's turn there. Amos 8. Come with me to Amos 8, please, verse 11 through 13. Amos 8, verse 11, it says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but a hearing of the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north to east they shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it." Verse 13 says, "In that day the fair virgins and strong young men shall faint from thirst." Brethren, according to some recent stats, most of the rest of this world, they do not go to church or don't want to, any at all on this day. And like I say, it's deteriorating. Brethren, that's why they don't know how to worship God, because they don't care. Because they've never been taught the right way or introduced to one true God. This is one of the reasons we're here 8 days, ain't we? Celebrating this fantastic Feast of Tabernacles. Because we know, brethren, this Feast of Tabernacles, pictures people coming together in the world tomorrow to obey God and learn about His ways. Around this time, a period of time can also be called the millennium. Because it will be 1,000 years of peace and progress on this earth without any eruptions, interference from Satan the devil. Well, brethren, what about us? What about us? How do we know? What do we know? And how do we know enough about God's word and his Sabbath and holy days to teach it to other people? Have you ever tried to explain our beliefs to others? Show them the Bible scriptures that back up what we believe? And are we ready to be teachers? Are we ready to be priests and rulers in the world tomorrow? Because that's what our Bible says we should be ready to do, brethren. Hebrews 5, come with me to Hebrews 5, the faith chapter. Hebrews 5, verse 12 through 14. Hebrews 5, verse 12. For thou, by this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have to come to need milk and not solid food. For anyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the words of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Allow me to read verse 13 of 14 again, brethren, this time from the New International Version. And it says this: anyone who lives on milk is still a baby. That person does not want to learn about living a godly life. Solid food is for those who are grown up. They have trained themselves to tell the difference between good and evil. That shows they have grown up. Well, brethren, these verses are telling us we need to be learning how to live a godly life right now and training ourselves to tell the difference between right and wrong. And mostly important, brethren, to teach others about obeying God, loving and serving other human beings, living God's way of life every day, brethren. That's why we're here right now, isn't it? We have these 8 days, the Feast of Tabernacles, for training on how to be a Christian living in this end time world. We're also here to learn about the world tomorrow and what our jobs will be. It's very important to read our Bible and know what we really will be doing in the world tomorrow after Jesus Christ returns to this earth. My Bible tells me we'll be right here on earth, brethren. Helping people that are still physically and need to be retrained and told the truth about what really happened to the human race and what is going to be available to them in the future, brethren, about obeying God's way of life. Because don't people always want to know what kind of job you have right now? They ask me that all the time. What kind of job did you have before you even retired? Brethren, what kind of job will we have in the world tomorrow? What kind of jobs will be available? Those are good questions for us to think about, isn't it, brethren? But first, let's go over what kind of leader God wants us to be and how we need to change our way of thinking and living in order to qualify for a position and a job in God's kingdom. You see, brethren, before we could become a spirit being and work and rule and teach with God and Jesus Christ in the millennium, God has to make sure that we have the heart, the mind of a servant, brethren. We have to be totally committed to God for Him to work with us. Totally committed. Just as Jesus Christ came to this earth to serve mankind by becoming a sacrifice, He taught and told others what it would take to get into the kingdom of God. Brother, what kind of attitude makes a good leader today. And why would anyone want to be a leader in our country in today's world? Well, many of them want the power, the authority, the wealth, the money, and the dictating over people. They have a self-serving attitude and want to be looked up to, and they enjoy the influence that it has for them to be in charge of other people. But when you look at that type of leadership, ask yourself this question, brethren. Who motivates them to be that way? Who or what is behind that attitude? Hope we all know the answer to that question. But the world is blind to his game plan, aren't they? And they think that the ruler or elected official that is over them really cares about them. We know better, don't we, brethren? One day that's going to change very soon. Very soon. We know who is really in charge and whose world this is. Only for right now, though. It is going to change very soon. Galatians 1, please. Come with me to Galatians 1. Galatians 1, let's read 1 through 5. Galatians 1, 1 through 5. Paul, an apostle. He wasn't not from men, nor through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Paul, an apostle, and all the brethren who are with me to the churches in Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Brother, our Bible calls this present time we live in a very sick world, and it's getting worse. This is not God's world at all, brethren. We know that Satan the devil has been given 6,000 years to do his best to destroy humanity and all life on this planet. And man, has he been working at it, hasn't he? He has done such a great job, he's even led people right out of God's church, brethren. Some have stopped keeping the Sabbath and the holy days because it was a burden on them. Some have been hurt by some people with bad attitudes. And they use that as an excuse to bail out of God's church and way of life. Well, we can't let Satan win. And that's why we're here today. We need to continue to obey God and fight constantly against Satan until the end of our physical existence, or when that last trumpet sounds, brethren, and when Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth on the day of trumpets. Satan is going to be bound and removed from power before the millennium begins. I look so forward to that day. Satan is the false god of this world. He has to be removed from power, have his authority taken away, and be in prison for 1,000 years to allow the world tomorrow to be established, and to allow human beings to have their eyes open to the truth and learn how to live God's way of life. I look so forward to that, brethren. So forward to that. I pray that constantly. Once that kingdom is started, God is going to need leaders, brethren. He's going to need rulers who are different from today's leaders, aren't we? You better believe it. That's you. That's you, brethren. These leaders are going to have to want to obey and serve God. They're going to have to love and rule over these frail human beings. Some of them may be scared to death. A lot of them will be wounded from what they've just gone through in the tribulation. Have you ever thought about that, brother? Have you ever thought about that? About how we have to help them, educate them, and lead them at the same time? That's your job. That's going to be one of your jobs. What we should be concentrating on right now, brother, is qualifying for the kingdom of God and making sure we're learning everything we need to be learning right now. Take every second, brethren. Hold on to it tight. Have we ever thought, brethren, that if we're alive physically, when Jesus Christ returns to this earth, we will rise up to meet him in the air, and then we'll return to earth. That we could be in a position where we have lived in two different worlds. This present evil world and the world tomorrow. That's kind of a mind-blowing and exciting at the same time, isn't it? Think about that. We could be people that bridge the gap between the two different kind of cultures, the governments, and the information that is taught to these human beings for 1,000 years, brethren. Come with me to Isaiah. We'll be a lot in Isaiah. Please put a marker there. Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30, beginning in verse 19 through 22. Isaiah 30, verse 19. And it says, truly, O people in Zion, residents of Jerusalem, you shall weep no more. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. Though the Lord may give you the bread of adversaries and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself any more, but your eyes shall see your teachers. You. Teachers. You. Verse 21, and when you turn to the right, or when you turn to the left, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Then you will defile your silver color covered idols and your gold-plated images, and you will scatter them like filthy rags. And you will say to them, away with you. Brethren, we're here now, right now, these last 7 days, 6 days, to learn how to properly be leaders in the world tomorrow. We're going to learn how to teach. We need to learn how to guide and direct God's people, brethren. But what about other brethren and others throughout all the generations of human beings? They were called by God too, weren't they? And led by him and taught how to be leaders too. Mr. Kubik touched on this the other day. Our Bible speaks about Abel, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Daniel, David, many more, brethren, that were called in different times and places, weren't they? Yet, they are all taught the same thing. What God expected of them and how they were to live their lives different from those in the world. Brethren, they will be there in the world tomorrow too, ruling and helping. I will find that very interesting, very interesting. Brethren, what kind of ruler will these men of the Old Testament be like? What kind of ruler will the disciples be? Think about that. All these people from different times and backgrounds have been called and worked with by God. He has worked with each one of them individually to teach them the basics of proper rulership and how to obey him. So, brethren, once again, what about us? What kind of ruler will we want to be in the world tomorrow? Do we even know how to rule yet? Because after the first resurrection, brethren, we hope and pray Jesus Christ will say to us, come with me now to Luke 19. Come with me to Luke 19. We've read this verse many a time, brethren. Luke 19, where it talks about the pounds the master gave each servant. Brethren, we could think about what we're responsible for right now. Think about it, how we're teaching and helping our family, our businesses, and each one of us, brethren, as we come to church each week. We've read this many times. Listen to what it says, brethren, and really understand it. Luke 19, verse 11 through 17. Now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was near Jerusalem, because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. This is Jesus Christ referring to himself right here, brethren. Verse 13, he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 pounds, and said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants, to whom he had given the money, to be called to him, that he might know how much each man had gained by trading. Verse 16, then he said the first, saying, Master, your pound has earned 10 pounds. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a little, have authority over 10 cities. Think about that, brother. This parable has major meanings right here. A lot. But what are we supposed to get out of it is that we're supposed to be obeying God, serving him with all our talents, with all our abilities and gifts that we've all been given. If he blesses us with material possessions and different levels of service within the church, brethren, he expects us to help and serve the brethren with those blessings. But how can we do this, brethren? How can we accomplish our mission to turn 1 pound into 10 pounds? We just read how in verse 17, brethren, where the nobleman told the servant, because he was faithful. He was faithful, brethren. He who had authority over 10 cities. We all have to remain faithful. We have to keep growing and overcome. Never give up, brethren. Never give up while living in this very sick world we all live in. Even when we come up on a stumbling block in any part of our life, every day, brethren, maybe it's our job. Maybe it's our marriage. Maybe it's our job. Our health. Whatever it may be, brethren, we got to remain faithful and keep obeying God. Come with me now to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 4, I'm sorry. 1 Peter 4. Let's read verse 7 through 11. 1 Peter 4, verse 7 through 11. It says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Cheerful, share with one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good servants of the manifold grace of God. Verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may glorify through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the domination forever and ever. These scriptures right here, brethren, might be where the old saying is, where much is given, then much is required. That's what it's saying, brethren. We are to be about our Father's business, and we're going to be held accountable for all we do, brethren. Godly character that we're supposed to be developing every day is from the fruits of the Holy Spirit, brethren. We don't have to churn there. We all know that. We've been there many a time. In Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness, brethren. These are the values that will be needed and used in the world tomorrow, brethren. Everyone who will be in the kingdom of God will be taught these basic principles. So, brethren, let's go over some principles that we can learn to govern, and then we can teach others in the world tomorrow. Our first one is, we are to be rulers that are servants of the people. We are to be rulers that are servants of the people. God states, in order to be a leader in the world tomorrow, we must learn to be a servant of the people. We're called now to be completing a godly service to everyone by obeying God. Let's go over to Matthew 18. Come with me to Matthew 18. I wasn't going to go there, but I will go there. Matthew 18. This is where the disciples are arguing among themselves. Who's going to be greater in the kingdom? Matthew 18, verse 1 through 5. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little children or child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me." Brethren, this is saying if we're going to be in God's kingdom, we're going to be given the opportunity to serve, and it must be based on humility. Being humble is the basics of serving others in a proper way and an attitude. We have to serve others in a loving way, brethren, and not to rule over them, and not to rule because of pride or vanity or getting something out of it. We should be serving because we want to be a servant serving God's people. God measures greatness by how we serve others and how much we love and help them along the way. A lot of leaders today, brethren, are only in office for the power and the money. They end up thinking they're great. And don't tell me what to do. I'm above all laws. That's not for me. Well, what does God have to say about that? Psalms 10. Come with me to Psalms 10. Verse 14 through 18. We'll read this from the New Living Translation. Psalms 10, verse 14 through 18. It says, "But you see the trouble and the grief they cause. You take note of it and punish them. The helpless put their trust in you. You defend the orphans. Break the arms of these wicked, evil people. Go after them until that last one is destroyed. The Lord is king forever and ever. The godless nations will vanish from the land. Lord, you know the hopes of the helpless. Surely you will hear their cries and comfort them. You will bring justice to the orphans and the oppressed. So mere people can no longer terrify them," brethren. This verse right here is describing God and what he does for each one of us. It is showing how God will intervene on behalf of his people. He looks down from heaven, brethren, and sees those that are fatherless, the widows, the poor, those who don't have anyone to stand up for them, brethren. No one can come and help them. Brethren, we all know there is coming a time very soon when the oppression from these horrible rulers in today's world will be stopped. And God will be the helper of the needy. Isn't that what the Holy Spirit does for us today, brethren? It helps us. It was given to us at baptism when we had hands laid on us to help us through the tough times and to overcome. It can also help us have the mind of God and grow spiritually. Also, brethren, isn't this why God established marriage between a man and a woman? So that the man could have a helper to help him. Not just to help him with the directions when he drives the car. That's all I'll say on that one. But to help him toward becoming a leader in his family and in the world tomorrow. Did we ever think about it that way, brother? Think about it. We're married to help each other into that kingdom. It's a team effort. It's a family. It's not a competition, brother. We are a family. And what about in the kingdom when Jesus Christ marries the bride, the church? The church will be there to help him. We all have the opportunity to assist Jesus Christ throughout the millennium, the white throne judgment, for all eternity, brethren, for all eternity. We will be helping carry out his plan and his duties. So to be a ruler in the kingdom, brethren, we must be focused today on our physical life, on serving and helping and giving to others. Giving to others. Once we're spirit beings, brethren, we must be able to continue to be humble and serve others. There's so much that will need to be done and rebuild. Isaiah 11. We'll read about the jobs that God will need us to do at that time. To help the people and bring them back, resettle the land they're supposed to live in. Isaiah 11, let's begin in verse 11. This time once again from the New Living. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to bring back the remnants of a people. Right here, brethren, he lists the nations where the people were taken and held captive during the tribulation. In that time, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to bring back the remnants of his people and all the distant coastlands. He will raise a flag among the nations and assemble the exiles of Israel. He will gather the scattered people of Judea from the ends of the earth. Brother, we see from these verses that one of the first jobs that we will be given is to help these people. Bring them back to the land that God promised them a long time ago. The Jews will come back to Judea, but eventually they will go to the various other nations of Israel. The geographics of the world would have been changed at this time, brethren. So the people will have to be resettled in different lands to allow them to grow crops, to raise animals, and resources to become an independent nation. A couple of chapters over, Isaiah 40, verse 1 through 5. Isaiah 40, let's read verse 1 through 5, please. It says, "Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your Lord, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem. Carry out to her that her warfare is ended. That her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." Verse 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Every valley should be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places will be made straight, and the rough place is smooth. Verse 5, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Brother, just think, how much more land will be available once the mountains are lowered and the valleys are filled in? A lot. In Revelation 21, verse 1, you don't got to turn there, it says that there will be no more seas, which means they will have more land there also. In Zechariah 14, 8, water will flow from Jerusalem. Over the earth will be fresh water, and everyone will be able to drink it and use it for watering their plants and the animals. Can we even imagine such a renewed and changed earth, brethren? I don't think I can. It is just beyond comprehension to me right now. But it's coming. Where all mankind can dwell in peace and have resources to sustain them forever, brethren. Forever. Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11, 13 through 16, once again from the Living Translation. Then at last the jealousy between Israel and Judea will end. They will not be rivals anymore. Brethren, these two nations will learn to get along. Verse 14 talks about how they would join forces and plunder the Gentiles, Gentile nations to the east, and take over the lands of Edom, Moab, and Ammon. Verse 15, the Lord will make a dry path through the Gulf of the Red Sea. He will wave his hand over the Euphrates River, sending a mighty wind divided into seven streams so it can easily be crossed. I've seen that river, brethren, on pictures. It's big. That will be very interesting to see. He will make a highway for the remnant of his people, the remnant coming from Assyria, just as he did for Israel long ago when they returned from Egypt. Brethren, there will be millions and millions of people that will need to be gathered up and resettled. Brethren, you can see every night in nightly news. I don't like to watch nightly news because almost on a daily basis, there's fights, acts of violence every day in the Middle East. They live so close together, brethren, the small piece of land they've got there. They fight constantly over that land. Brethren, these situations will be taken care of in the world tomorrow by moving people around and giving them the resources and the education that they so desperately need to survive. Brethren, they'll be happy. They'll be content what they'll be given. They will be praising God constantly. These people will need help, brethren, and compassion. They will also be need of healed of diseases and trauma to their bodies and minds. They will have no idea what happened to them, brethren. We will be there to help them and heal them and teach them, brethren. You, brethren. Our Bible talks about how Jesus Christ will take one person at a time in the future and pick them up like a lamb in his arms and carry them and guide and direct them. You don't have to turn there, but in Isaiah 40, verse 11 says, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Number two, brethren. Point number two. We will be leaders who will comfort the people. We will have to comfort the people, brethren. We'll encourage people who will strengthen them and help them learn about God's way of life. One chapter over, Isaiah 12. Isaiah 12, verse 1 through 6. In that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Brother, this was because the children of Israel did not obey God. And they went into captivity, and now he's going to comfort them, brethren. Verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Brother, we have already talked about that, about the living waters that will flow out of Jerusalem. Verse 4, and in that day you will say, praise the Lord, call upon his name. Declare his deeds among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, so he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Verse 6 says, cry out and shout, O residents of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. Brother, when these scriptures are being fulfilled, God will definitely be known to all the world. He will comfort the people. He will start with Israel and Judea. His government and love will extend out to all nations, brethren. Let's go a couple of chapters over now to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, verse 1 through 3. This is talking about who we need to comfort and how we are to do it. Isaiah 61, verse 1 through 3. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to whom we are bound. Brethren, have you ever had to comfort someone who has lost a loved one? This is not an easy task to do. But with God's help and the knowledge of his plan, we're going to comfort them, brethren. Tell them about when they see their loved ones once again and what it's going to be like. We're going to learn about that tomorrow, brethren, the last great day. Verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Brother, God will want us to help comfort everyone who is mourning. We will be doing that, brethren, on our job. Verse 3, so consult those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Brethren, did you notice that these are what we will be doing? We're going to assist Jesus Christ in comforting, educating the mass of people that will have no idea what's going on. These people will be shell-shocked. Will be like those soldiers in World War II who liberated those death camps. They were scared to death. They didn't know what to do. People inside those camps were so frail. They were scared. They didn't know who to trust. Some of the soldiers had to hold out food and water to them and tell them it was going to be okay. They were scared to take it. But this is one of our duties, to comfort God's people and help them. We'll be there to talk to them, listen to them, and try to help them best we can with love and understanding, brethren. Love and understanding. 2 Corinthians 1. Come with me to 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 1. 3 through 7 from the NIV. Second Corinthians 1, verse 3 through 7, describes the nature of God and says what he's like. It says, praise be to the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Verse 5. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patience, endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. Brother, when we go through trials, we all do, we can see that God does comfort us through His Word from the Bible, brethren. He gives us hope through the Scriptures, but sometimes, brethren, we don't realize it. We keep asking, why? Why? It is for a purpose, brethren. Trials are for a purpose. He also gives us the Holy Spirit to strengthen and help in us. Brethren, we ever thought about why we have to go through these trials? Why do we have to go through trials, brethren? Maybe it's so we can have the experience so that in the future we can help and comfort others who are going through that same kind of a trial. Think about that. Let's turn to one more scripture that shows how we'll be comforting the people in the millennium. Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60, back to Isaiah, it is a very strong chapter in the book. Isaiah 60, verse 20 through 22. Your sun shall no longer go down, nor shall your moon withdraw itself. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended. Also your people shall be all be righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the works of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a strong one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. Brethren, there will be no more. There will be no more days of mourning, no more suffering. This time is coming very soon, brethren. Very, very soon. We know that we're living in these end times, and Jesus Christ is going to send His Son back to this earth very soon. Please understand that it's happening, and it's going to happen. The days of happiness, the days of blessings, we'll be here. So that's why we should be learning how to be comforters now, brethren, so we can be comforters in the world tomorrow. Number 3. As rulers, we must be fair and just. As rulers, we must be fair and just. We must learn, brethren, we must learn and be just to everyone, just not our families, our friends, our people that we just like. In the world tomorrow, brethren, everyone will be treated the same. Everyone. Won't that be great? Once Jesus Christ set His foot on earth, He will begin to rule with a proper judgment and the justice for all human beings. This is how God's government will be, brethren. So different from man's government right now. From the millennium to forever, there will be a zeal of the Lord of hosts, and it will be carried out. Isaiah 11, verse 2 through 8. Isaiah 11, verse 2 through 8. Then shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. Verse 4, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. Brethren, this is describing how Jesus Christ will rule in the world tomorrow. How he will be fair and righteous to everyone. He will rule with godly wisdom, godly understanding, and it will cause the entire world to be totally a different place. That's kind of like an understatement, isn't it? He will be able to look in their hearts and read their minds and understand their motives just by looking and talking to them, brethren. We also have those abilities, brethren. We will learn to use them to be just and righteous and fair in our rulings too. This is why we must be learning God's word right now so we can help and teach others. We need to love God's word and learn our Bible more, to put God's thoughts into our mind and his words in our heart every day of our life. We have to learn these things first, brethren, before we can be trusted and to judge fairly and righteously. This is why King David had been promised to be king of Israel in the world tomorrow, brethren. Because he administered judgment and justice to all his people. Sure, he was human and made mistakes. He repented, brethren, and he was a great ruler. God looked at David's heart and promised him a position in the kingdom of God. What a great honor that will is, Father. What a great honor that is. God has also already selected some individuals for a position in the kingdom, such as the 12 apostles will be over the 12 tribes of Israel. There's many other positions available for us, brethren. A lot more. Number 4. Rulers must serve with godly love. Rulers must serve with godly love. We've come to our fourth and final quality, brethren, a ruler must have, but it is the most important one. We must serve with godly love. Godly love. His great love. That is why he is so merciful to us human beings and has given us the opportunity to become part of his family, brethren, because he loves us so much. We must learn to love others with that great love, brethren. We cannot serve or rule because we want the power or the wealth, our position over people. We must truly love our fellow human beings so that we can love and take care of them in the future, brethren. If we don't learn to love our fellow man, it'd be like a teacher who doesn't love the children. They are seeking a possession just for the perks and the power and not for the right reasons. But if we want to rule with Christ in this coming kingdom of God, our leadership has to be focused on service to others. Serving other people, not having serving us, brethren. Matthew 20. Come with me to Matthew 20. Please, Matthew 20, verse 26 through 28. Matthew 20, verse 26 through 28 says, yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Servant leadership should be a selfish act, motivated by love, not greed. Brethren, we're being trained right now for positions of leadership in the world tomorrow. You may not know that, but you are. This is why God has given us this Feast of Tabernacles, brethren. It is a blessing from God. It is a gift to us. We are here to be learning, helping one another become rulers in the world tomorrow. Brethren, it won't be like that in the kingdom of God when people are self-righteous or anything. People will love one another and help each other and teach each other because God is love. And His grace and mercy flows out to him and to his family, brethren. So let me ask the question again. What kind of ruler do we want to be in the world tomorrow? Do we have any idea how we're going to rule them? Can we compare it to how we rule our lives today and what we've been given today to rule over? Because that's going to be the measuring stick, brethren, isn't it? How we overcome and rule in this world will determine what and how we're going to rule in the world tomorrow, brethren. We need to apply God's laws to every part of our life. I mean every part of our life. Put God first. Brethren, are we learning God's way? Are we comforting others? Do we encourage others? Are we growing in love? Brethren, you will have the opportunity to teach those and those who will follow what it's like to live a life where, with the help of God's Holy Spirit, they too can resist the devil and overcome him by obeying God and following the examples of his Son, Jesus Christ. Brethren, after living our physical life in this Satan-filled world and overcoming this world, our experiences, brethren, are going to be used to teach coming the new generation of God's family of what we've learned, brethren. So, brethren, when we become kings and priests in the millennium, we will want and desire all human beings to join us in the family of God. Just like Jesus Christ and His Father want and desire us to join them. You don't have to turn there, brethren, but in 2 Peter 3, verse 9 from the New Living Translation, it says, the Lord really isn't being slow about His promise, as some people think. No, He has been patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. Just as Jesus Christ lived and died for our sins, brethren, and gave us the opportunity to be able to repent and go to our Father for forgiveness, He also did it as an example for others, for us. While we're serving others in the millennium, brethren, we will be responsible to give people comfort. We'll give people encouragement by showing and telling them about God's love and assuring them and showing them that God's word and the truth today and forever will continue. Forever, brethren. Who better to teach them to hold fast so that no one takes their crown, huh? In Revelation 3, verse 11, I think we all may have that memorized. It says, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have that no one may take your crown. Brethren, if we're going to be teaching and directing these people for 1,000 years, during which time they will be underneath godly rule, what can we do? Or teach them to keep them from being deceived from Satan the devil when he is released and given a chance to deceive and make war again. Brethren, we can answer that question by looking at ourselves, brethren, and how we're being trained right now, and prepare for the battle ahead of us. We must be trained today, brethren, to endure, stay strong, grow, so that we can help and teach others to do the same thing in the millennium. Brother, remember what Mr. Beam said the other day? It really caught my attention. Will you be here next year? Think about that. Will you be here next year? Brother, we got to take every second. Keep a hold of that. We've all been given the opportunity of a lifetime. The opportunity of a job throughout all eternity. We're all blessed today to be here and be called out of this horrible world so we can learn, study how to be rulers in the world tomorrow and be part of God's family. We must keep learning. We must keep growing and prove to God that we have the right character and the mind to become a proper ruler that will love and serve others the way that He and His Son, Jesus Christ, love and serve us. Come with my last scripture, brethren, Hebrews 2, verse 8. Hebrews 2, verse 8, faith chapter again. Hebrews 2, verse 8, New Living Translation. It says, "You gave them authority over all things." Now when it says all things, it means nothing is left out. But we have not yet seen all things put underneath their authority. Brother, this verse is saying that has not happened yet. God intends for mankind to inherit the vast universe. It's out there waiting for you, brother. So if anyone asked where we be ruling and when and where and how, you can tell them, brethren, that we want to rule with God and Jesus Christ to the millennium and beyond.